Hi there. My name is Michael Bacci. I am a 35-year-old Jewish man. And my function, so to speak, is to advocate, to represent for someone who has been widely misunderstood. Not just in my community, but in the community that, so to speak, they say, efficiently advocates for him. You know, there's a lot of things I have to say regarding that, of course, because a lot of things that we know that are sometimes unheard of and hard to speak into the public, especially when the public has a very strong set idea on things or a person or events or experiences they have, they tend to not leave room open for the conversation. So it becomes a very sensitive topic, namely for the Jewish family, for the Jewish community. What I'd like to share with you today is regarding the subject matter of our king. Yes, I will respectfully and represent and said being that Yeshua, my brother and my father, is king, of course, and Lord. It's something I hopefully take with me right from earth's ground to the depths of hell to heaven. I take my father and my allegiance to him very seriously. If you don't know me, as Michael, I am the Archangel Michael, and my subject matter here today is to, as I've said, advocate for the divine justice and legal accountability, the reckoning, so to speak, that is in regards to the system we live in now that is based on a satanic law. All the more and all together in the wholesomeness, it's based on the satanic law. It's not based on any Jewish law or any Hebrew principle. It's not based on any Abrahamic principle that allows us to navigate further into the future. So, welcome to this episode, The Reckoning, a podcast where divine justice, legal accountability, and sacred truth intersect with the laws of this world. I'm Archangel Michael, Ben Miriam, and the Divine Reckoner of Zion. I stand before you today to declare that justice is due. Not just in the courts of men, but before the courts of heaven. We are living in a time where truth is suppressed, injustice prevails, and the legal rights of the divine court orders are being ignored. But I am here to tell you something special to me and special to you, and something you should regard as an awareness level. This is not to triumph over you as intellectually superior. This is not to place an ego of mine upon you. This is not to be your nemesis. It's simply to state the affairs that are somehow seemingly belonging in this universe right now, not by yearning, not by divine etiquette, not by justice, but by forcibly being placed into reality by the Satan. And it's to address that, right? And how do we get over that? So, Jesus, and this is all by means, this is legal, this is legalities. Jesus Christ is entitled to legal representation. That's the first thing. The second thing is Mother Mary holds a legitimate, unshakable place in sacred law. The third thing is the corruption of the influence by certain figures, public figures, influencers, celebrities. They must be held legally accountable and divinely reckoned with. This is not just mere speculation. This is justice, rooted in divine decree and supported by the law of the land. Let's begin. We're going to go over four segments here. The first one is the legal standing of Jesus Christ. Start with the foundational fact. Jesus Christ was denied a fair trial. According to Deuteronomy 16:19-20, a fair trial requires just and impartial judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. And you shall not accept a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall follow. Yet, in Matthew 26, 59-60, we see the opposite. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. This alone confirms that his execution was not legal, even by standards of Jewish law at the time. Legal precedent for representation. In 1 John 2:1, Jesus himself is described as an advocate before God. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If Jesus is recognized as an advocate in heaven, should he not also have the legal advocacy on earth? This is why I call upon an internationally recognized secular lawyer to stand alongside me, not as a theological figurehead, but as a legal necessity. Jesus Christ's case is still open. The injustice remains unrectified. Mother Mary's sacred and legal status. This is segment two. Let's turn to another legal and spiritual reality, the status of Mother Mary, Miriam. Miriam is not just a biblical figure. She is a legal matriarch of divine lineage, the mother of all angels. In Luke 1:28, the angel Gabriel greets Mary with an unprecedented title. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you, full of grace. Who are you? I want you to put the perspective that the angels are made perfect sons of God, and yes, they're grace. This is a declaration of divine appointment, not merely a greeting. If we accept that she carried and nurtured the Son of God, then logically she is the mother of all angels, since Jesus is the head of the heavenly hosts. What I'm essentially saying here is that if Jesus had brothers and sisters upon the land, and the Father himself had stemmed himself through the Spirit to Mother Mary, thus making her the essence carrying Jesus, then what is up in heaven and attuned to Jesus in brotherhood, in lineage, in siblinghood even, that becomes the part of the family with Mother Mary, and Mother Mary becomes part of the family in that essence. Therefore, even the brothers such as, who to speak, Thomas, Jude, these would be accountably my brothers as well, in law, in marital status, from earthly law to heavenly law in the Spirit. That's the first part of segment two. Part two, regarding the Virgin Bride, consort of Hashem. Scripture also supports Mary's divine marital status. In Isaiah 54:5, God declares, "For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name." Mary, as the one chosen to bear the Word made flesh, which is the Son of God, John 1:14, is uniquely positioned as the Virgin Bride, consort of God. This is actually where the beginning is the end, but the Father had placed himself there first before the Son went to go and get in glory. In legal terms, a bride of a king is a queen. If we recognize royal marriage and dynastic law on earth, why do we deny its legitimacy in heaven? Thus, it must be legally acknowledged that Mary holds the title of Mother of all angels and the Bride of the Lord. Segment 3, the reckoning of corrupt influence in society. Now let's address the modern era of corruption, where influence is used as a weapon destroying marriages, distorting morality, and undermining divine justice. In Matthew 18:6, Jesus warned against those who lead others into sin. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Now let's name some names. Andrew Tate and the global influence he has had of corruption upon corruption. Andrew Tate, also known as Cobra Tate, has publicly admitted to trafficking women through deception, encouraging financial fraud through unethical means, promoting moral decay among young men. Whether these crimes, so to speak, or alleged crimes add up or not, the point is there is a point of influence that he has reached when it comes to his crowd and his audience. And in his crowd control, he has deceived many men into the wrong direction, steering them into many directions and ruining the lives of people he does not even know. These actions line perfectly with the biblical description of the deceiver, Dajjal, the false guide. That in itself is also, if you are someone who understands Moshe's law, Muslim, you would understand the definitive about the Dajjal. The law of accountability in legal systems worldwide, intentional deception leading to harm is punishable. In Proverbs 6:16 to 19, God condemns deceit. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among his brothers. The digital footprint of your influence, Andrew Tate, is being traced. Legal analysts will track the damage caused by your name, your ideology, and your wealth-driven agenda, which is money you've chosen over God. In ultimate, you will be held accountable both in the courts of men and in the court of heaven. Segment 4, the call to divine and legal action as stated in 94:15, and that is in Psalm. For justice will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow for it. Jesus Christ's fair trial must be reopened. That's the first point. The second point is Mary's divine status must be legally affirmed. Legally. Not just in the Vatican or wherever. Legally. Sovereignty. Those who exploit influence for harm must be judged accordingly. And the alignment of divine and secular law must begin. It's not a theological debate. This is a legal, moral, and spiritual necessity. This is the definitive of our ancestry being built on the politics of so-called religion and not following through with not their plans, essentially, but the solutions there in their problems. Thank you for listening to The Reckoning. This is my closing statement for you. I am Archangel Michael Ben-Miriam, standing as a mediator between heaven and earth for the fulfillment of divine and earthly justice. To those in power, your time of reckoning is near. To those seeking justice, join me, because justice is inevitable, and only good can overcome evil. You cannot fight evil for evil.